Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Sorry about that song. I had a little song that's interrupted us there. Hit the wrong button at the wrong time. But here we are. And this show is to bring you the best information about the visits of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as she has appeared many places in many, many centuries. Actually close to 2,700 visits documented, and that's in 2,000 years. So she's obviously been very busy. And so what we try to do in this program is give you the best information about these different visits. I have studied only 4%. That doesn't sound like much, but it's 100 stories, and most Catholics know about 4 or 5. Maybe. If they know 10, that's pretty remarkable. So to know 100, that's why I'm doing this show. And I'm glad, because I didn't know anything about this before 2011. I became Catholic in 2010. And having worked as a psychiatric therapist for all these years, I always take interest in what people experience. And I'm very open-minded. Well, I really probably before now would have thought that they were delusional and needed some type of medicine if they thought they were seeing the Virgin Mary. We had as many as 3 Jesus Christs on the psych ward at one time. And so, but they were all different Jesus Christs. One was a builder, one was a preacher, and one was a miracle worker. And they didn't fight with each other. That wouldn't be appropriate. But after their medicine sank in, they all returned to their usual personalities. So, you know, that was my world until I realized that, hey, people really are being visited by the Virgin Mary and Jesus, and these aren't delusional and hallucinating people either. And if you don't believe me, listen to all the professionals and scientists out there who've studied them, and they all come to the same conclusion. This is not phony. This is not fraud. This is not made up. This is not pathological or psychological. It is a very real and supernatural experience. So if you've not heard about any of this stuff, it's time to tune in, see what you think. And you don't have to believe, but I think you'll find as you listen to more of our stories that there's an awfully striking similarity between all these stories, no matter what year, whether it's 40 AD or 1973, or 1816, or 1530. It doesn't matter. The stories are so much alike, no matter what part of the world it happened in. To me, that is consistent with something that is real. Certainly, if it was fantasy, we'd have 1,000 or more different directions these stories would take, and all sorts of unusual things, very rarely matching up if it was all fantasy. So that's why we want to give you the best information and try to see what that might do for your life. We always hope that you'll be spiritually enhanced and inspired by these information, you know, informational stories that we present. We hope that you believe in them. You don't have to, but you're going to find it hard not to after a while to keep listening. So we hope that will help you out. My co-host, Donald Hartley, will be here shortly. He wanted me to go ahead and open up tonight and get things rolling, which is not a problem at all. And he'll be around shortly. He's always a man with things to do, and he tries to squeeze a lot in. But he's be here shortly. In the meantime, we have our team with us. First of all, from New Jersey, we have Mike. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Always glad to be on the show and bringing good information to the world. And I do mean that. We've had as many as 130-plus countries tune in. And to me, that's mind-boggling. But we have the proof that they are tuned in. So that's pretty exciting from all corners of the world. And so how's your week been, Mike?
Well, it's been busy. Sometimes it's been busy. Sometimes it hasn't.
All right.
Things are happening, but slow.
Yeah. And then we have from the great state of Tennessee, Doc. Hey, Doc. How's it going?
What's up, Doc?
Everybody, I am happy and blessed and better than I deserve. I was telling you guys before we came on the air about this TikTok artist talking about how the church is evil and everything, and that's why there's no God and everything like that. And I've been thinking about this because a lot of it is because righteous masculinity has been removed from the teachings of the church, but to give up your faith in God because corrupt men are running it is foolhardy and short-sighted. Just for the outside chance. Well, I mean, I saw it on a sign somewhere, eternity is a long time to be wrong. You got to really think about that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
that's exactly
right. If he
doesn't
think there's a God, he better be right.
That's right.
Well, for my sake and everybody else's, I hope he's wrong.
Yeah. Well, we know we're on the right side of things here. Yeah. And Joseph is here from Colorado. How are you, Joseph?
Oh, I'm trying to hang in there. I'm not feeling good, that's for sure. But it doesn't really stop me, so that's the problem.
And, I don't think anything has ever stopped you.
I cooked for the men's home today, so I only just it's 7 o'clock here. They picked up the food at 5, and I still got an extremely messy kitchen, so I'll be cleaning that for a little while after we get done. But but helping others is my thing, and gearing up to hand stuff out to the homeless 2 Saturdays from now, and. I collect blankets and jackets and hats and gloves and dermals and backpacks and socks and try to make a difference. And got a couple of people who will come out and help me only because I have so much stuff and just to make sure no one attempts to steal anything. And then that day I'll also make pasta with meat sauce for them and try to bless them the best I can. So pro-life isn't just about saving babies. It's about helping people, and people just don't think about that. And, of course, I get yelled at about that pretty much daily. what are you doing for those who are living, more than you'll ever do, jerk, you know. But, yeah, I love when they try to put me on the spot. I'm the wrong guy to mess with, you know. I could put my,
you've proven that.
I could put my, In more ways than one, you know. Yeah, you know. But
hey, Joseph,
by the fact that I do more than most, and under the worst conditions, you know.
Yeah,
That's the real kicker. Well, hold on, that's the real kicker that most people don't understand. You know how disabled I really am. You know having reflex sympathetic dystrophy, dystonia, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic venous insufficiency. Besides that, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah,
but God keeps me going.
When I worked EMS, at the end of the shift, I always had blankets. I would take them, wash them, and give them out to the homeless. So what I'm suggesting is, if you know any people in EMS, suggest that to them. Because you transport a patient, you move them to the hospital, they don't let them take that blanket. They give them their own blanket. And at the end of the shift, I've got 20, 30 blankets. And you know, my service, the services, they don't have, I mean, they're throwing them away. So I started collecting them and giving them to the homeless. And if you're looking for blankets, that may be a good way to get them. You know, I take them home, clean them before we give them out. But, you know, I mean, it's just an idea.
Yeah, that's interesting. I personally, and some people don't understand it, I personally give out nothing but brand new stuff. And trust me, it costs me a lot. And I don't have that kind of money, but my credit card does. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people put them down, and they do get secondhand stuff from many sources. And so I want to treat them with as much dignity as possible. When I cook for them, you know, pasta with meat sauce, I make it the same exact way I would make it for you and me. You know, I cut no corners. I give them the best possible product I produce. And it's good. You know, I know how to cook, and especially Italian stuff. Yeah, I could do that blindfolded.
Yeah,
We have another caller. I don't recognize the number, but you're on. Can you identify yourself?
Did my number come through?
111, area code.
Okay, 111, right?
Yeah, it's a strange number. Who is this?
Okay, good.
Okay,
they're gone, right? Yeah, 111. That was some kind of prank of some sort.
I think he didn't realize where he'd called. Anyway, tonight we go to Italy, and the years are 1961 through 1970. And this is one of those that's still being debated about its validity, but I always present them if I think there's something worthwhile to look at. And it's San Damiano, Italy. And it's a very interesting story. So I always think, unless there's something obvious that shows it just can't be real, you know, we take a good look at them because, you know, it's an average of 53 years for approval, and this one's just barely 50-something years, you know, gone by. So it's still in that range. It can be approved yet and just hasn't been condemned or anything. So we will go to that story starting now.
Is there a way to check on that, of the status?
It changes. Like the International Marion Research Institute in Dayton, Ohio, tries to put it online as soon as they know of approval. And I haven't checked it lately, but That's a good place to look. They usually have the full list, and then they'll put its status. And it can sneak up on you. Sometimes you're not looking, and all of a sudden they'll be approved, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
but,
very good.
Yeah. That's how I began my research. I found that it used to be called the Mary page. I'm not sure if it'll pull up now. I think they changed it, but it was pretty good because along with their list, they would also have links or some of the information, and then you could get a fuller story on some of them. Others you'd have to Google and just see what else you could find.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the ones where I figured out the number of 2,654. So,
wow.
Yeah, it came from them. And the other place, the Miracle Hunter, which now he's on EWTN Radio. What was that?
No idea.
Sound like a jet just landed in somebody's living room. Anyway.
Saying the Miracle Hunter.
Yeah, thank you. The Miracle Hunter listed 2,000 plus on his website. He's probably still got that up. And now Michael O'Neill's on EWTN Radio. I was on his show, September 6th, I think it was. And, he loves talking about that stuff with me because he knows and I know we've read a lot. So we can compare notes on a lot of them.
Nice.
Anyway, this Our Lady of Roses is what Mary was called in this particular apparition. Our Lady of Roses, and Rosa Quattrini was the visionary. She was actually born on my birthday, January 26th. However, she was born in 1909, not my birth year. 1909 in San Tomento, Italy. Her parents were very devout and pious, especially the father, who had an intense devotion to the rosary. If he came home late at night, he would wake the children in order to recite the rosary as a family. There you go, Doc. There's a man who's taking charge.
That
I like
is.
That.
As a I love that. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I do. We say the rosary is a family every night, doesn't matter what. And I got to attribute that to my wife. She's the one who started that in the family, in the house. I worked offshore for many of the years, so I wasn't home every night. She kept that going. And now that I'm retired, I when it's time, I yell, boys. They know what that means. They come out. We sit down. We all say the rosary together as a family, no matter what we're doing.
Very good.
That's
great. So that's good to see. Good to see. Now, the father was actually a poor farmer and died when she was just 2 years old. Her three sisters entered religious life in three different orders. One was a missionary in Brazil. Another worked with lepers in Ceylon, and the third was a Carmelite. Rosa's husband, Joseph, was a helpful, good-natured, and courteous man who made sure things kept running smoothly when the apparitions began happening on their property. So Rosa had her own St. Joseph, you might say, right there, her husband.
Amen.
So after becoming the mother of three children, Rosa developed ill health over 10 years and felt like she was going to die one day. She was rushed to the hospital, but doctors discovered that she had tumors too far advanced and had caused other serious complications. They told the family, just take her home to die. Well, while very ill and awaiting death at home, Rosa was visited by a peasant lady whom her Aunt Adele had allowed to come into the house. this youthful and beautiful visitor, notice that beautiful visitor, wearing a multicolored mm-hmm. skirt, blouse, and kerchief over her head, asks for alms for Padre Pio for 3 candles to light in the church. The aunt replied that they were short in funds to do this and also had a sick relative. But the visitor then insisted upon meeting Rosa. Rosa replied that she had great faith in Padre Pio. When the church bells began ringing the Angelus, the beautiful female visitor asked Rosa to recite it with her. Then she invited her to recite 5 Our Fathers, 5 Hail Marys, and 5 Glorias in honor of the 5 wounds of our Lord, and to include Padre Pio in the intentions. After finishing these prayers, the youthful visitor asked Rosa to stand up. Rosa replied that she was too ill to do so. But the lady visitor took her by the hand, and Rosa was surprised that she could stand. The visitor then placed her hand on the ailing part of Rosa's body, and Rosa was instantly cured of all her illnesses. The mysterious visitor then instructed Aunt Adele to get a glass of water, to which the visitor added 3 grams of earth from the Holy Land, 3 dried olive leaves, and a small portion of a blessed candle, and instructed Rosa to drink this at 5 a.m. the next morning, coinciding with the beginning of Padre Pio's Mass. This miraculous cure took place on Friday, September 29th, 1961, the feast day of St. Michael the Archangel. All right, I'm going to stop right there for a second. That was a pretty interesting start to this story. What do you all think?
Yeah, totally. Wow. Was Padre Pio still alive then?
Yes. You're going to hear about her going to try to visit him soon.
Mm. Okay, okay.
Yeah, in fact, he died.
Yeah, that's... Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
Well, when she said stand up and when the beautiful visitor said stand up, I'm surprised she even doubted, because at that point, I kind of, you know, suspected there's something going on here. You know, I would have, because, well, I'm like that, but, I mean, that's just an amazing story.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. So after this, Rosa had a strong desire to go visit Padre Pio in San Giovanni Rotondo. A friend helped her to afford nice clothes and some trip money. She hooked up with a pilgrim group to go. Upon arriving at the plaza in front of the church, a lady called out Rosa's name. Rosa recognized the lady as the same visitor who had called upon her and brought about her healing. The beautiful lady responded, oh, this is it, guys. The beautiful lady responded, yes, I am the Madonna of Consolation of the Afflicted. Woohoo! All right.
Yeah.
Now, during confession, Padre Pio told Rosa to prepare herself for an important mission. He ordered her to help the sick in a hospital in nearby Piacenza, a city of 100,000 people. Rosa did as Padre Pio asked and stayed there helping the sick, even visiting their homes for 2 years. After that, Padre Pio told Rosa to go home and await a mission from the Blessed Virgin. Okay, folks, if Padre Pio told me that Mary is going to come visit me, which she already did, I would definitely believe it if he told me.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So, again, this adds a lot of validity right there to this whole story, because Padre Pio is not going to mess around with some phony. In fact, he would see right through it so quick. So,
very much so, yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy, would he. So on Friday, October 16th, 1964, soon after the Beatles came to America.
That was the year I was born.
Yeah, there you go. Rosa had a friend visiting her when she got the funny sensation that something was about to happen. Then a voice told her to go out of the room. Rosa obeyed and went outside, drawn toward the pear tree near the vineyard. She began reciting the rosary with her friend. After completing the first decade, a blinding light enveloped the pear tree. In her first appearance to Rosa, Blessed Mary appeared just over the pear tree. This is her first official appearance, you might say. Our Lady indicated that she had made herself known to many, but few have heard or heeded her. She asked for Rosa's help. However, Rosa insisted that she was too plain, too simple, and ignorant, and nobody would ever believe her anyway. Blessed Mary said, "Do not fear. I will give signs so that others may believe. I will give you messages, and you must make them known to the world," unquote. She further reassured Rosa that the Virgin would do everything as long as Rosa agreed to this mission. The first miraculous sign came in the early fall of that year with the sudden bursting into blossom of that same pear tree where Blessed Mary had appeared. The large mass of white blossoms produced a very strong and sweet fragrance. On September 29, 1967, on the feast day of St. Michael, the pear tree again burst into blossom, and the pilgrims took many pictures. The flowers remained on the tree for many days without hardly any sign of deterioration. Now, guys, I don't think the pear tree blooms in almost October, like September 29th.
Right.
So
yeah, that's out of character for a pear tree.
Yeah, I think they're usually around April, aren't they? So
that makes a lot more sense. Yep.
Yeah, but it kind of reminds me of Juan Diego and the wintry Castilian roses that bloomed on the barren, wintry hillside of
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, exactly. So here's another miraculous blooming. So exactly 3 years after Blessed Mary's promise to provide signs, she permitted Rosa and she permitted her own image to be photographed over the pear tree. She confirmed this with the following words in her own message given on May 30th, 1968. Quote, "Now I will tell you a secret. I will tell you who took the photograph in which my image came out, despite the fact that you do not believe." Now, I'll stop right there for a second. If you're on my website, I do have that picture on there. Again, that's divinemysteries.info. And if you look under the table of contents, under apparitions, look up Italy, and then look up San Damiano and pull up the story, you'll be able to see that photograph we're talking about. It's not bad. I mean, it's not real clear, but it's not real fuzzy either. So interesting photograph that supposedly Mary allowed to be taken. How about this? Any reactions at this point?
Now, what was that website again?
Divine Mysteries, that's IES, mysteries.info, I-N-F-O. Now, that's my website where the apparition stories are, like a library. And when you go on that website, you click on the picture that says Marian Apparitions. You might have to click on the words Marian Apparitions sometimes. And it will pull up a table of contents. You click on that, And then it will list all the continents of the world, and on each continent, the countries that Mary appeared, and in each country, all the cities that or locations that she appeared. So you go to Europe, Italy, and then San Damiano.
DivineMysteries.info.
Right.
Roger that.
Roger. So during many of the apparitions, Joseph?
No, yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, very miraculous and how Mary is approaching her and, you know, allowing her image to be taken. That's huge, obviously. And of course, a bigger meaning to it, you know, to share eventually. As you know, however, you're probably going to get to that. You know, whatever she told her to do with the photo. I can imagine people seeing that, and you know,
But it's interesting.
I'm sure they would have every kind of reaction.
And what's interesting, that was in 1968. And guess what? That's also the year she appeared over Zeytun, Egypt, and allowed pictures to be taken as well. So the very same year in Egypt, she allowed pictures to be taken also of her image. So I guess she was catching up to modern, modern thing. Okay, you want to believe? Here, take a picture. And
Cameras were just getting better then, you know.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. I think color photography started about 1964, somewhere about there. So, at least everyday Kodak color photography.
Yeah, talk about a Kodak moment.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a couple more pictures, Medjugorje, and also in Barberton, Ohio, and there's a few others in Egypt as well where pictures were allowed. So she hasn't avoided it, but she's allowed it here and there. All right, well, something else supernatural happened here. During many of the apparitions, the sun would begin to spin or whirl in its orbit and throw out multicolored shafts of light, just like Fatima. At times, it would be dimmed to such a degree that gazing at it would not have any ill effect in the least on the eyes. That is also typical of any supernatural sun miracle. This might last throughout the entire length of time of the apparition. On one occasion, it was shaded so much that only a thin ridge of light on the outer section of the sun could be visible, giving the appearance of a glowing ring, kind of like an eclipse. The Blessed Virgin requested that photographs be taken during the apparitions. Rosa would sometimes stop the praying of the rosary for a moment to announce. She said, start taking pictures. I like that. Rosa was even told at times which person was to take the pictures. So that's interesting. And I'll just add there for a moment that after Fatima, not before Fatima, but after Fatima, I think heaven decided that that sun miracle of Fatima worked pretty good, because after that, the sun has spun at least 20 other countries around the world. And I've talked to people who've seen it, not just at Medjugorje, but other places they've seen the sun spin in this generation right now. I've talked to people who've seen that. So it's more common now than you might ever believe. But Fatima started it, and then after that, it has happened in many places and in more dramatic fashion. In Gia di Benate, Italy, It happened in about four or five different nights with as many as 350,000 people watching. That's right. I said that. 350,000 people, like five Super Bowls of people watching the sun spin and dance in the sky. Fatima was just 70 to 100,000. This was more than three times the Fatima crowd in Gia del Benate, Italy. So, you know, it's happened many other places and times. And I guess heaven decided that, hey, this is cool. This is working. Let's do it more. Oh, many different signs were captured in these different photographs, both color and black and white. White glowing crosses were seen in the sky. A spinning sun at the intersection of some of these crosses. Perfect circles comprised of little light rays or light icicles. A circle of 10 beads. Various rays of light. Triangles in the sky. Horizontal bars or vertical columns of light. And even the image of a monk suspended in the air. Or, finally, even a double sun, two suns in the sky. Okay, guys,
wow.
She ain't making this up. You got lots of people seeing
wow.
all this stuff. You can't make that up and have everybody see it. So,
if you can make that happen, you got a job in Las Vegas for sure.
Yeah. Well, Padre Pio told her, go home and await for your mission from Mary, and then she gets one.
That's right.
I mean,
right?
everything about this just clicks as genuine, and truly so.
What does the, what does the spinning sun represent?
Well, I think it's just a supernatural miracle so that people will be inspired and believe that all this is really happening. Because, you know, only she is talking to Mary and everyone else is just
right.
hoping it's real. But when you have those miraculous things happening in the sky and all those images and all those things happening, that'll get you believing.
Yeah, all those hand in hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to show the power, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when Christ was on that boat during the storm? He said, "Be still." And what happened? The ocean chilled out. You know, sometimes humans are hard-headed. We're stubborn, and you know, a lot of times, even when we see these miracles, we doubt. So, yeah, I think the sun spinning. You know, for you to see that, I mean, how do you argue with that? How do you doubt that?
Right. And plus, for the sun to dance around in the sky, we just know is virtually impossible. So when it happens,
yeah.
we've seen God do the impossible.
Right.
And one thing that always impressed me, that Fatima crowd of almost 100,000 people, about half of that crowd were disbelievers, skeptics, atheists, scientists, military people,
sure.
journalists. Who were there to make fun of it when nothing happened. They were there to laugh at the kids and to prove to everyone that it was just a bunch of baloney. So when it happened, you know what? There wasn't one argument. And in fact, the atheist newspaper said the sun danced in the sky at Fatima. There was no like, oh, bunch of baloney or this crap happened. No. There was no flack, no disagreement, no argument, no debate. Everyone saw it. Everybody went home. And even atheists were like, just, wow. So that's why I think heaven continued to use this as a supernatural miracle to help people believe.
Well,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You also know that the Hollywood Special Effects Department hadn't learned how to do that yet.
Yeah, and they don't do it near as well either. So, Doc, I think you were talking about the people who don't believe. Boy, this is just what they need, isn't it?
Yeah, I would really, you know, I mean, you know, when I heard those people singing or that guy making his joke about God today, I really wish that I could have confronted him directly, but, you know, it was one of those things they tape and post. You know, the number of people that fall in line with that, it's sad. And, you know, hearing things like this give me hope. I just wish there was more of it. I mean, I really do.
Yep. Well, this is my latest book is coming out in just a couple weeks here. It's all finished at the publisher, and the name of it is Show Me God. And then there's a picture of God, and it says, I am. And this is a book. This is a book for all the disbelievers. This is a bunch of arguments in there between a knowledgeable, truthful teacher and all the defiant, loudmouth, nasty students who say all the things that we're hearing, all the things you're talking about. And one by one, the truth knocks them down in every chapter with not just opinions, but facts, evidence, medical, scientific, professional investigations, artifacts, everything I could throw at them. And this is the one, because the whole book's dialogue, this is the one for those who don't believe. And just to drive home the points, it's illustrated with 85 color photos documenting, validating every point made in every debate. This is my kick-ass effort to get people to wake up. So I will make sure you guys
sometimes
get
people need a kick.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially when the devil, you know, wants people to believe there is no God and no devil and no heaven, no hell. And right. And those minions are working overtime. Yesterday, Holy Apostles Church, we had about 50 people go out to Planned Murderhood. One of our priests and about 50 people, and so many of them observed me for the first time, you know, doing what I do, and were amazed. And I heard everything good and bad, you know, where people were trying to put fear into me, and you better be careful. And I'm like, do you realize I always do this? But the point is, there was a car and three girls in it, and they just went ballistic, cursing the heck out of me. And then the one started growling and barking, really barking.
Oh.
And the three of them, like, there is no effing God. I'm like, he's a dead wrong. You know, you better turn to God. You better seek him, whatever that takes. And Satan, leave these girls alone. And they looked at me like it was nuts when I said that. And then they just hit the gas and drove off. But, yeah,
wow.
The noises coming out of that one were just crazy. The growling. I've experienced that before, but never experienced barking. and I was like,
"Do you carry holy water with you?"
All the time.
There you go. I've been spraying them down. You need to carry it in a super soaker.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Get a super soaker with an extra large tank.
That's right. You know how Donald talked about that coin he had that when it was put in holy water, it vaporized. So maybe you'll vaporize a few girls. Or at least cast the demons out of them. There you go. Cast some demons out. There
you go. Well, I've done it a few times with the, there's been four groups of witches that come out and put spells on me and everything. And I reach in my bag and pull out my vial of holy water, and I squirted them, and they screamed. So,
yeah, they probably wouldn't expect that.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Totally.
And then what you say, what you throw at me does not hurt me, but bounces off of me and sticks to you.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and some people would laugh about that, you know, so the witches and putting spells. And I'm like, why would you laugh about that? You know, I know evil is real. You know, I've experienced enough of it. And some people just don't get it that, you know, yes, there's evil forces that are powerful and they can harm you, but God has taken care of me. That's for sure. You know, so
yep.
Thank God.
Yep, absolutely.
In Houston, Texas, a few years ago on a major freeway, there was a billboard put up by an atheist group that said, "A Hail Mary only works in football. Relax and enjoy the game."
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez. Well,
yeah,
totally. Like I said, this is why I wrote this book. This is exactly why, because I heard this horrible chatter out there, and I said, okay, that does it. I'm going after them. So,
I've said before, we are under spiritual attack 24/7. A lot of people don't believe it, but it's there. You know, Joseph, you said it best. The greatest trick the devil ever did was convince people he didn't exist. Because by doing if he doesn't exist, then God doesn't exist. And that's why I'm so grateful this show exists, because now we can put it out there. Yes, God does exist. Whether you believe it or not, he believes in you. You know,
there you go. Yep.
So.
All right. Well, back to our story. This is interesting. Dr. Pierre Weber, a research engineer at the National Office for Study and Research in Air and Space in Paris, together with specialists in different fields of research, space and meteorology, diligently and very seriously examined these photographs. And after days of examination and debate, they lapsed into silence without a single good explanation for any of these supernatural pictures. So that's a nice little scientific effort. Miracles were reported as well. People have been cured of blindness, deafness, paralysis, and other ailments. Others have been converted. Thousands have been strengthened in their faith and their resolutions to live more in conformity with the teachings of our Lord. A well next to the pear tree was known to have water with miraculous healing properties. A lady had instructed that the well be dug in that spot after the first apparition on October 16, 1964. So there we go again, another spot where Our Lady says, dig here. And when they do, water starts coming up and it has miraculous healing properties. This is why I don't consider that this apparition can be a phony. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I would love to get a couple gallons of that water.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's right. And strong and exquisite fragrances, similar to the aromas that Padre Pio encountered in his church, occurred in Rose's Chapel and in the waiting room. Sometimes this sweet perfume could be smelled all the way from the House of Roses to the local church by those on their way to Mass. The first foreign visitors that arrived on the scene were three cousins of Sister Lucia, the Fatima visionary. Let me say that again. The first foreign visitors that arrived on the scene were three cousins of Sister Lucia, Fatima visionary. However, Nobody understood how they could have known about these manifestations or even found this little town of 150 inhabitants about 70 kilometers from Milan. Yeah, how did that happen? Well, we know how it happened. You know,
private invitation.
Well, it's interesting when the incident in Manila, Philippines happened with President Marcos and Mary appearing before the tanks. Lucia in Fatima knew all about it, having not read any newspaper or account or any dealings about it. She knew all about the incident. And they always wondered, how did she know? Well, I think Mary likes to share her stories, where she goes, what she knows. So it's interesting that here again, Sister Lucia's three cousins show up at this place. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
One should ponder how Rosa could possibly reply so eloquently to the large amount of mail received every day. Considering Rosa's education and background, it was humanly impossible for her to reply so adequately, quickly, and intelligently to the many complex issues raised by those writing the letters. Rosa would do so by sitting or praying in front of a beautiful statue of Our Lady while listening to her secretary, Margarita, read each letter. Rosa states that the Blessed Mother would give her the answer, stating it slowly, so that her secretary, so that she could write each heavenly response as Rosa heard it, given to her by Mary. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. Ton of mail. And Mary's right there helping her answer each letter. That is so cool.
Well, you're a writer. I mean, can you imagine that? And Mary dictating the book you're going to write? Wow. That's crazy.
I have felt the presence. In fact, if I slow down and I'm not writing, I feel this, come on, get with it. Get back to it. I go, okay. That's happened on the first two books without any question. It was almost annoying, but I got it done. Hey, come on, guys. Four books in 6 years? Someone's pushing me.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I would like to get one out.
Yeah. Well, you can do it. You can do it. A couple more things, and then we'll end tonight. And the next week, we'll have all these messages from this apparition. But a couple more things here. When observed during an apparition, Rosa appears to be in a trance with her head gazing upward and slow to react to anything around her. She only blinks her eyes occasionally. Sometimes Rosa will utter a few words like, Saint Michael has appeared, or Our Lady has a message for everyone. So this is very typical of visionaries. And finally, on December 8, 1967, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, about 2,000 people were present for this apparition. At least half were from the foreign countries of France, Switzerland, Germany, Yugoslavia, Austria, Ecuador. Boy, that's a long way. Ecuador, Canada, and the United States. The sun was seen spinning for over an hour and throwing out multicolored rays. It was completely darkened with only an outer rim of the sun visible again, like during an eclipse. And exactly 1 year later, on the same date, an estimated 10,000 people were now in attendance. And Miss Turner from New York reported that she was fortunate to see an outline of Our Lady. Cool. Yeah, I don't think Rosa's making this stuff up.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
So with that, Well, I didn't check to see. I'm reading my material. I'm not watching the studio. I don't know if Donald might have come on. Nope, he hasn't made it. So I was just checking. So we'll stop there for tonight. And next week we'll cover, oh, my gosh, I've got a whole bunch of messages from this apparition, which should be very interesting given the fact that it was so clearly dictated by Mary and written down by her secretary, and should be very interesting to go through those messages. In fact, I can remember some of them, and they are good. So that we will do next week as we return to San Damiano, Italy. And I really like the fact that in this apparition, Padre Pio was so involved. That was just really cool how he was part of it. You know, he actually was also part of the Garabandal Spain apparitions that Conchita, the main visionary for that one, actually received a gift from him, his death mask, which is very interesting. What a, you know.
He gave her his death mask?
Yes, gave the visionary from Garibaldi
his
death mask when he's incorrupt. So he still looks like he's just sleeping. He could probably
make
a thousand masks off of that face. It's still there.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, every now and then we got crossovers like that. But when Padre Pio is involved, I always give it 100% credibility. That guy was so amazing. So amazing.
Yeah, he was very much so.
He could read your sins like reading a newspaper. I mean, it scared a lot of people. He was so good.
Totally.
And he could bi-locate, too. He could be in two places at once. It was pretty amazing, the things that he was able to do. So, anyway. So, any final comments, questions, or thoughts?
Padre Pio has been one of my favorite saints since I converted.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah, he's definitely given me some strength, and you know, when whatever amount of years ago, somewhere around 14, I would think. When his relics visited Vegas with the representative from Italy, a translator and a priest and a nun, and they asked the bishop and they asked all these pastors, you know, if they had special parishioners or shut-ins that can use a private visit. And the bishop and seven different priests gave them my name. And it was an unbelievable moment to have them all in my home. And they actually opened up the glass case with the glove in it. And I was able to touch a couple veins to that blood. So I got relics from that, where everybody else would have a third class relic, the prayer cards that I had with Padre Pio and his medal on it and stuff was touched to it. I myself touched it, and what I felt for even a period of time, and forget what I felt right then and there, was just amazement and awe, and then I just had so much peace for a period of time after that, it was wonderful. It was and I was amazed that the bishop and seven different priests, not just my pastor, but all these priests that knew me, you know, all said, "Hey, you should go see this guy," you know, and they all commented on the, even then, you know, what I was just starting to do, and talked about, I had just had my vision and adoration, and so we talked about all that along with that, and even then they all said, you know, that I was called for greater things, that they could see it, you know, and so yeah, that was another real special moment in my life.
Nice. I love Padre Pio stories, and that's so awesome. So awesome. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to mute y'all, and we're going to do the Worldwide Rosary. So thank y'all for coming tonight, and come back next Sunday. We're going to finish this one up, and these messages I know are just going to be a lot of fun. So we'll see y'all next week. And now, as I mute everyone, and we will ask everyone out there around the world to join together in a Hail Mary. All our voices in unison will rise up to heaven in one voice united around the world. How special is that? The whole world at once, and heaven will hear it. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone out there who tuned in tonight. Thank you for coming, and I hope you return next week. Tell other people. Let them join in, too. Because this is special, this information is unique, and hopefully inspirational, educational, and meaningful too. Hey, it's not like another rerun of the Beverly Hillbillies. It's different, and we hope you come back and get inspired by what we do. So for that, I will say good night, and we'll see you next week.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.